It's a pleasure to be back home at St. Mark's Episcopal Cathedral, a community where I not only experience being fully accepted, but in a denomination that our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, a branch of that he calls the Jesus Movement, a denomination that affirms and celebrates each one of us, just as God created each of us to be. Many years ago, I discerned a vocation to the priesthood, but it is in this branch of the Jesus Movement and in this parish community that has spiritually fed, nurtured, and affirmed my vocation, that I now fulfill with the support of my husband, Carlos, whom I married here at St. Mark's. Around this altar, I have experienced Jesus' command that we love as he loves. I am forever grateful for this and the support from all of you. Today's gospel is about Jesus asking the disciples questions that require discernment and that lead to profound meaning and changed lives. Using questions as a tool in learning and discernment goes back to the 4th century BCE. Socrates appealed to open-ended questions that challenged assumptions, exposed contradictions, and led to new knowledge and wisdom. Sometimes the question is almost more important than getting the correct answer, especially if the end goal is to achieve an ever-deepening relationship with God. Questioning is a powerful teaching method. Socrates understood the importance of questioning and self-examination. During his trial for heresy, Socrates is quoted as saying, "An unexamined life is not worth living." In today's gospel, Jesus asks two profound questions. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? But who do you say that I am? In raising children, not that I know anything about it firsthand, parents know that building character and giving them the ability to make proper decisions is not just telling them what to do, but it requires helping them develop tools and acquire knowledge to discern right from wrong. As I prepared this homily, I kept hearing my mother's voice and a specific question she loved to ask. Looking back, the question was the beginning of a Socratic experience for the youngest of her 4 sons, and that would be me. And I have to admit, it wasn't always a welcomed experience. The first in a series of questions went something like this. "Bobby, what were you thinking when you did ? You can fill in the blank of what a 7, 8, 10, or 12-year-old might have been up to. I remember one specific experience, like it was yesterday. At the age of about 9, I remember coming home with 2 fistfuls of 3 Musketeers candy bars. They were my favorite. And my mom asking, "Honey, where'd you get those?" And I responded, "Oh, from the Alpha Beta grocery store." With a puzzled look, "Who did you go with and how did you pay for them?" "Oh, I went with Benjamin and Marky, and I used my allowance." "You already spent your allowance from last week, and you don't have this week's allowance yet. How did you pay for them? And who gave you permission to walk to the store without your dad or me are your older brothers. Well, I returned the candy bars, and I paid for them with that week's allowance, apologized to the store manager, and was treated to a Socratic experience when I got home. And the question went like this. It wasn't Bobby, it was Robert. What were you thinking this morning that led you to your decision to take what did not belong to you? I remember it like it was yesterday, and I never did that again. When Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" the disciples and people had seen a lot. From the Transfiguration, the disciples seeing Jesus walk on water, the Canaanite woman's persistence in expression of faith, and her daughter's healing, to feeding 4,000 men in addition to women and children from 7 loaves of bread and a few fish with 7 baskets full of leftovers, and religious leaders still wanting additional signs confirming his identity. So when the disciples reported back to Jesus what they heard in response to his first question, people say, "You're John the Baptist." No, they think you're Elijah. Some think you're Jeremiah. Others say you're one of the prophets. Interestingly enough, Jesus does not affirm or deny any of their answers. After Jesus heard the answers, he must have realized that even after feeding 4,000 with 7 loaves of bread, a few fish, and walking on water, people were not getting his mission and purpose, including those closest to him. See, there is nothing wrong with their answers. The names of prophets from the past speak of their shared history and whom Jesus might represent as connections to that shared history. But Jesus is digging for a deeper connection. Peter Block, who is an author and organizational and community building expert, wrote in his book, Community and the Structure of Belonging, "Achieving Accountability and Commitment entails a use of questions through which, in the act of answering them, we become co-creators of the world. Powerful questions are the ones that cause you to become, as soon as you answer them, cause you to become an actor as soon as you answer them. You no longer have the luxury of being a spectator. Powerful questions are the ones that cause you to become an actor as soon as you answer them. You can no longer have the luxury of being a spectator." What Jesus hears to his first question are answers from spectators. Faith development and formation begins with what has been given us through various traditions and experiences, and is rooted in what we have gained from our families, our cultures, and churches. If all we do is recite the creeds, or only answer the questions asked in the Book of Common Prayers, Catechism, without anything happening within us, without a conversion of heart, we are spectators and not actors. Jesus' first question to the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is in preparation for the second question, "But who do you say that I am?" He was looking for accountability and commitment. Jesus was getting personal. I propose it is a question for each of us today. But who do you say that I am? Jesus is looking for accountability and commitment from each of us. He is getting personal. When only Simon Peter answers Jesus' question, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," Jesus confirms that Peter's answer is correct and proclaims that his insights can only be received from God. But see, even Peter doesn't entirely go from spectator to actor. As we will hear in next week's gospel, he doesn't understand what being the Messiah will involve. The Messiah's vocation, death upon a cross, doesn't fit Peter's context of what a Messiah should be. When we answer the question today, it takes us on a road of discernment. And I do not mean discernment to ordain ministry, though it might for some. Instead, as followers of Jesus, discernment is not about getting the correct answers intellectually, but about being grounded in witnessing God's love in the world and how we answer the question. It moves us from simply knowing something about Jesus to actually knowing Jesus in our hearts. In the words of Peter Block, we move from being spectators to being actors. And then in the end, we have to decide for ourselves in conversations with God how we will identify Jesus. Consider answering the following in becoming actors and not spectators. Whom do we say Jesus is after the wildfires in Lahaina? Whom do we say Jesus is as we live the effects of our inability to coalesce around a solution to global warming? Whom do we say Jesus is when the general youth population is about 10% LGBTQ, but up to 40% of homeless youth identify as LGBTQ, and 26% of homeless LGBTQ youth report being forced out of their homes solely because of their sexual orientation or gender identity? And finally, who do we say Jesus is after the racially motivated mass shooting in Jacksonville yesterday that resulted in the death of 3 people, all black, and the suicide of the white gunman in his early 20s? Whom we say Jesus is has everything to say about us. When my mother asked Robert, "What were you thinking when you and your friends took those candy bars without paying for them?" she was asking me where in any of her and my mom, dad's role modeling and teaching did my actions fit, going into a store and taking candy bars without paying for them. It was about accountability and commitment, knowing right from wrong. When Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" it is not about reciting an easy answer from our catechism or creeds. It is about how our creeds and catechism has helped transform our hearts. It is about encounters with God, informed by studying sacred texts in community and in prayer, that leads to action. Our answers reveal how we live God's love in the world. Our answers reveal what we stand up for. Our answers guide our decisions and determine the actions we take and the words we speak. My brothers and sisters, how do each of us hearing the good news become an actor in answering Jesus' question? "But who do you say that I am?"